somebody turn in your Bibles, or if all of you would, to Luke chapter 21, verse 28. I have a word of encouragement for you today from the throne room of God as He has confirmed His word in two different messages. But I just want to confirm to you that God is in control. All the stuff that you see, all the stuff that you hear is irrelevant when it comes to what God's doing. Did y'all hear that? Everything you see, everything you hear is totally irrelevant to what God's got going on. Completely. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, thank you for standing for the reading of God's word for just a moment. I know you've been standing a lot. We need to get our exercise in. How many's struggling with exercise and diet this year, this new year? Every time I see chocolate, it snickers at me. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not a discouraging verse of Scripture. It is an encouraging passage of Scripture. Every one of us in the last 10 months, 11 months, 12 months, and it seems like it, every new day we look at each other and say, man, I ain't ever seen nothing like this before. Anybody ever said that to you? Or you ever said that to anybody? Man, I can't believe it. I ain't ever seen anything like this. Hello? I mean, let's be real. Every one of us has said it. Young or old alike, I ain't never seen nothing like this. I never thought, I've heard people say, I never thought I'd see anything like this in my lifetime. Do you know this is not the first time this has been said? I remember hearing my dad-in-law say, man, I never seen anything like this. My dad. Man, I didn't think I'd see anything like this. So with that being said, and that in thought-provoking to you, I want to encourage you and let you know that in this message, it lets us know that none of this stuff has got God caught off guard. Now, I may take off a little bit slow, but please stay with me. Please stay with me this morning. We hadn't had church for a while, but I'll try not to keep it real long. But I've got this burning in my heart and my life and my soul, my spirit. And I want to share it with you. The other morning, I was up to almost 1 o'clock. God just pouring this into my heart, pouring this into my spirit. And we had such a divine time of fellowship. And I want to share it with you. And even though we look at these circumstances and say, man, I ain't never seen anything like this. So with that being said, I want to share some things with you. In Esther chapter 4, verse 13, I can hear Mordecai telling Esther, I never thought I'd ever see anything like this in my lifetime. Hello? You believe Mordecai was saying that? Esther, I didn't think I'd ever see anything like this in my lifetime. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 19, I believe that Jacob was, you could hear him thinking out loud and saying, I never thought my brother and I would be at such odds. Never thought it. Exodus chapter 32, when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf, the golden calf, and saw them dancing, and his anger burned within him, and he threw down the tablets that was in his hand, and he broke them into pieces at the foot of the mountain, and he took the calf, and he burned it with fire, ground it into powder, and scattered it in the water, and made the Israelites drink. And he said unto Aaron, what did these people do that have led you to such a sin? Don't you know in Moses' heartbroken condition, can't you hear him say, I never thought they would stoop so low or go so far. After all that God has done for them, how could they go so far? In Genesis chapter 11, the whole world was under one language and a common speech. And as they moved eastward, they come together and said, all the people said, let's make brick and mortar and let's build a kingdom. Let's build a structure that reaches to the heavens. You see, it's not that they was going to try to build an Empire State Building, but their motives was totally impure. Their motives was out of context to the will of God. God said, I'm going to go down and visit them and see what's going on. And I'm going to confuse their language and scatter them all over the whole earth. Can't you just hear God saying, I can't believe all I've done for these people. I never thought that they would go to this extreme. I told you, hang in there. Genesis chapter 6, there was giants in those days, and the sons of God came into this, the daughters of men, and they bare children, and there was mighty men, giants in the land, and it repented in verse number 6 of chapter 6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Don't you know the Spirit of God in that particular time was feeling what we're feeling today? Time after time, man has disappointed the heart of God. And in verse number 6, put it in our verbiage, you can hear the heart of God when he said, I didn't think they would stoop this low to discredit all I've done for them. Genesis chapter 7, and all the flesh moved upon the earth. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me, okay? I'm going somewhere in this. And both the fowl and the cattle and the beast and every creeping thing and every man. And in all the nostrils was the breath of life. And all of that was on dry land, they died. And every living substance was destroyed. I'm talking about Noah and the ark, okay? You with me? Anybody asleep, say amen. And every living substance was destroyed that was on the face of the ground, both men and cattle, creeping thing, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were in the ark with him. Don't you know, as Noah opened the window of that ark and looked out across the land, water, eventually saw some land. Don't you know, he said, all the years that I preached while I was building the ark, I cannot believe I did not have one convert. I never, ever in my lifetime ever thought that things would happen like this. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 8, Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they was in the field that Cain rose up and killed his brother. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries from the ground. Again, please bear with me. I'm setting a stage of something. I'm getting somewhere. I want you to hear this to let you know where I'm going. It's odd to me that after all that had taken place with Cain killing his brother, listen to this. This is very odd and unusual to me. That after all that took place and Cain killed his brother, the only mention of their parents after that was in the order of Adam's ancestries and descendants after the murder. After they was kicked out of the garden, there's no other mention of them that I found. But as a mother, can't you hear her at the cemetery saying, Adam, I never thought it would come to this. What in the world did we do so wrong? I never thought it would come to this. And then I take you to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan said to David, and we all know the story, David taking Bathsheba and killing Bathsheba's husband, and things just a literal mess. Nathan tells David a story about a man's sheep. David said, we'll have that neighbor's head for what he's done to his neighbor. Nathan said, but David, you're the man. Can't you hear David weeping from his balcony? Can't you hear David weeping from his balcony night after night? Oh God, I've been so wrong. Please forgive me and let the punishment fall on me. God, I never thought it would go this far. My lust for Bathsheba, murdering her husband, faithful friend, has led to sin in my family with the rape of my daughter, the murder of my son, extreme rebellion with the other. In wee hours of the morning, you could hear David's voice as he wept, as it echoed off the buildings of the shadows of the streets of Jerusalem. Oh Lord, my God, I've sinned. Have mercy upon me, oh God. David cried from the bottom of his heart in Psalms chapter 51, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Skipping a couple of verses down to verse number 10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen, folks, I don't know how many times I've heard the last several months, as it rings in my ears, I never thought I would ever see anything like this in my lifetime. From the pandemic, to the deep state corruption, to the violence and crime, to the hatred in the streets, most of all, the lax and complacency and the attitude that the church has been reeled into. How many times have you heard, I never thought I would ever see anything like this? Now I want you to know something right here and right now from these pastors' lips. This is not a political statement or a political message. And if that's all you get from this message, you're dead wrong. Because I can tell you that this plan has been orchestrated straight out of the pits of hell to discourage you, to sidetrack you, to defeat you. Every one of these stories I've talked to you about from the Bible has shown you all the times that people have been disappointed. They have been shocked, they have been surprised, they have been blown away, they have went back on God, they have come back to God, they have went back on God. But I've got good news for you, child of God. I said, I've got good news for you, child of God. Every one of these situations where man has been blindsided has not, did not, nor ever will it dethrone or catch God off guard. That deserves a repeat. I come to encourage you, church. And I can't wait till I get to the main part of my message. I come to encourage you. And let you know one more time that every one of these situations, every one of the circumstances in your life, everything that you have been faced with, come face to face with, every one of these situations, even though we might have been blindsided, it has not, did not, will not ever dethrone or catch God off guard. Whether you realize it or whether you don't, when we look at each one of these stories, and I read several of them, and there's multitude others, every one of them has a positive outcome. That's why I said I've got something coming for you. You may have sat in your rocking chair and wondered, Lord, I have never seen anything like this before. Perhaps you've stared out your window, or you've watched the news and you've wrung your hands thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And I just come by to tell you today that God is not off guard. He's not off the throne. He is not discouraged. But he come to tell you, I am stories as a happy outcome. For all who have put their trust in the great I Am, everyone that has put their trust in the great I Am, listen, all of these people had never seen anything like what they experienced. Can you imagine Noah when he was able to open the window for the first time and seeing nothing but water? Where did it go? What happened to it? And though we've never seen anything like what we are facing today, and even though every circumstance may be a little bit different, God's not changed. He's not overwhelmed. And He has everything in control. When you think it's all washed up and it's all over, it's only the beginning for God. Listen, listen, I'm repeating myself. When you think it's all over, it's only the beginning for God. It ain't over. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 13. We all know that story so well, that scripture. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. 70 years it took for them. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, though the thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you an expected end. And all of this stuff, you can take verse 11 as a fact. And all of this stuff from one end to the other, and all this stuff, God is thinking good things towards you. Those that trust Him, those that seek Him, then shall, He said in verse 12, then shall you call upon me. You shall pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You cannot quit praying. You cannot give up the faith. You cannot quit going to church. You cannot give up on your brother or your sister. You cannot give up on God. God said, I will come to you when you call upon me. When you seek me, you will find me. When you shall search for me with all of your heart, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I said, are you ready? In every circumstance that I give to you a while ago, there is a positive outcome. Even in the face that it's over and you can pull down the curtain, God said it ain't over until I say it's over. Esther, not knowing the fate of her people, she chose to stand at the worst of times, realizing she had come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. What was meant to completely annihilate her people and appointed was appointed time for her uncle to be hung up on the Times Square. God had a plan and turned it all around just in time. Her people were saved in the gallows that was meant for Uncle Mordecai was swinging from, become the judgment of Haman that had the plan for the whole lie against the Jews, Mordecai and Esther. Let me tell you, God's still on the throne. Oh, that make you shout. Jacob and his life was a mess from the get-go. From deception to lies was the backdrop of his autobiography, and yet out of the ashes of his family chaos. Oh, listen to me today, church. Out of the ashes of his family chaos came a promise of restoration. His brother determined to kill him found forgiveness and reunion because Jacob was determined to have an encounter with God. Someone makes up their mind to go behind the veil, you can rest assured things are going to happen from the throne room of God. I got you through the bad times of this message. It's time to shout now. I'm here to tell you right now, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm here to tell you right now, if some of this don't bring a tear to your eye, you need to pluck a nose hair and get real with yourself. Man, I'm telling you, all of this junk and all of this stuff that we're experiencing, God hasn't left you. He's with you. He's got a plan for you. We're going to come out of this on the other side. And it literally may be on the other side, but we got a promise, church. With Jacob, the restoration and forgiveness and forever changed. His name changed. Never to walk the same. The promise of abundant life where the whole family is blessed and multiplied across the whole earth. Moses, a man surrounded by rebellious and indignant people. When God was ready to wipe them off the face of the earth, Moses stood in the gap. When all looked lost, God raised up the next leader in Joshua and took a remnant to restore a nation in a land that flowed with milk and honey. When the rest of this place looks like it's about ready to burn, we got a place that outshines the sun. His name is Jesus Christ, and He has prepared a place for us where we'll be with Him forever and forever. Listen, the Tower of Babel was a sad story. Man was determined to reach the heavens. God came down and scattered them with a language barrier, but He had a plan to bring salvation to His creation to serve a greater purpose. It ain't lost. When man's heart was on evil continually, God could have had communion with animals and totally destroyed mankind, but God's mercy and grace had a plan to bring together a people that would serve Him and honor Him. Noah, a man that preached for years as he built the boat, not seeing one convert. Can you imagine not seeing one convert? But he stayed faithful to the end. And as God took one man's faithfulness, turned the page to a new beginning of what God had in store for His people. Cain and Abel, first family in a mess. God took the blood of a lamb to represent what was to come as a foreshadow of the Redeemer that would forever rewrite history. And then the history books bring salvation to all who will. Amen. You believe God's on the throne? Amen. Listen, He did it then. He'll do it again. Amen. Don't be discouraged. It ain't lost. He's in control. Look at David. In all of his life of chaos and the mess that he himself made out of it, God saw a man with a tender heart. While judgment confronted David's house, God's mercy had a plan that out of the same loins came a new king with favor with God. What man saw is unsalvageable. God sees a way through the most unlikely path to bring redemption and reunion. Glory. Paul and Silas, and I didn't mention them earlier, but I saved them for last. Chris, y'all go ahead and come to the piano if you don't care. They could have moaned and groaned. Paul and Silas I'm talking about. We can moan and groan. And we can think this country's going to hell in a handbasket. And that is debatable. But it does not change the heart of the child of God. Amen. And it does not change their destiny. Amen. Paul and Silas could have moaned and groaned about their situation and told each other, "I never thought it would be like this, brother." But instead, they thank God for all that He had done and for the opportunity that God had given them to serve Him. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. If you have to, shake yourself or shake somebody else. Think about it. We're in a mess. What greater time to evangelize your world? Hello? there's people hurting. There's people don't know what to do. There's people that's taking their lives. There's people that's wanting to take their lives. There's people that's wishing they could run. You've got the message for them, church. I said, you've got the message for them. There is no greater time right now for us to evangelize our neighborhood, our community, where we work. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We don't have to dig a hole in the ground and stick our head in the sand. God's our Redeemer. He's the one on the throne. Hello? There was a song that was written a long time ago. I said a long time ago. Sound like I'm real old, but I'm really not. I said, I've got a right to pray. I'm telling you, church, you've got a right to pray, you've got a right to come to church, and you've got a right to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm telling you, that deserved a lot more than two or three amens I've got. I said, you've got a right. You've got a right to pray, you've got a right to come to church, you've got a right to tell somebody about Jesus. They thank God for what God had done for them and the opportunity they have to serve and even suffer for Him. And to choose to sing praises and praise God out of their predicament brought about the first jailhouse rock with supernatural deliverance that had a whole family saved because of God's power and God's grace. Listen, church, what you need right now is the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, not the world's fear. God is more real today as He's ever has been in His entire life, and you can prove it because people need Him more today than they've ever needed Him before. It's in the name of Jesus and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we are made more than conquerors. You have no need to be fearful or allow Satan to push you down because Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And no matter how bad it looks, it's only going to get better for the child of God. Let me say that again. No matter how it looks, it's only going to get better for the child of God. For if I take my last breath here, I take my first breath up there. That's not a sad story, my friend. We win. I said, we win. So I want to encourage you today with all of these stories that I told you. Every one of them has a good ending. And just because, like you, they had never seen it before in their lifetime or never thought it would happen, that's what we're saying today. But I'm telling you that God's still the deliverer. And He still cares for you. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask You, Lord, that You'll take this simple message. And I pray, God, that You'll build the faith in the lives and the hearts of Your people. I pray, oh God, that You'll give us courage to stand in the very face of the enemy. I pray, oh God, that You'll give us the courage and the faith to pray when nobody else wants to pray. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll give us the tenacity to witness to those that are hurting and giving them the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ. Let our hearts be encouraged and strengthened today. Almighty God, let Your Spirit fill our hearts and fill our lives. For You're God, and You change not. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, because You're in control of all things. In Jesus' name. With